Hello, everyone, and thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Extra Rounds podcast. In this round, if you will, we're talking to some of the stars of Bellator 175 in Chicago, Illinois. This event's headlined by a bout between King Mo and Quentin Rampage Jackson. Among the fighters we'll talk to in this episode is Steve Cazola, Manuel Sanchez, heavyweight Chase Gormley, and former Bantamweight champion Marcus Galvo. First, let's talk to Steve Cazola, who is fighting Jake Roberts in a lightweight bout. Hey, Steve, how are you?
I am fantastic. How are you doing, Mike?
Doing very well. Thanks for taking the time out to talk to us today.
Oh, thank you, man. My pleasure.
So it's been a while since we've seen you in the cage. What have you been up to in this downtime?
Training. Working, being a great father, being a great husband. I'm very fortunate to be blessed with the most amazing wife and amazing son ever in the world. I also love what I do. I love being a martial artist 24/7, 365, and living the life. Also work as a trainer and martial arts coach. So I just live my life, man, and it's been amazing. Learned a lot, gained a lot of knowledge, a lot of experience, and it's fantastic. I can't wait to get back in there and show my skills.
The last time we saw you fight, you had said in an interview somewhere that you wanted to stay active in 2016. Did the plan kind of change, or was it just kind of a result of the circumstances, and was that disappointing?
Result of the circumstances, and it was extremely disappointing. That's the last thing I wanted to do after being off for, 11 months, was to be off for another, 11 months a year. That's the last thing I wanted, but unfortunately, my circumstance with World Series of Fighting didn't work out. The representation that I had wasn't working out, so I had to make a change, and I tried my best to work as best I can to make the situation I had work for me, but at the end of the day, the results weren't happening. We live in a results-based society, and it just wasn't going, so I had to start from scratch again and rebuild. And I have, I got new management, Tiki Gosen, and he's done phenomenal. I'm back with Bellator where I should be. And now watch, this is the year that I remain consistent with my fighting, and I'm going to make some big waves in the MMA community.
So I was going to ask about that. You're back with Bellator. Was this another short-term thing, or is this going to be a long-term deal?
It's going to be a long-term deal.
So does this mean that are you still viewing yourself as a prospect? I've seen in interviews you said that you feel like you still are kind of at that prospect level. Do you feel like this is the beginning of a run towards a world title?
Absolutely. 100%. Being on the main card, being back with Bellator, being on the main card, this is the opportunity to put yourself on that platform to show that you are no longer a prospect. You are a contender. I now have the skills mentally, physically, spiritually to be a contender and hang with, top guys in the world. And I plan on showing it one fight at a time.
So given the way that your first tenure with Bellator ended and coming back, what was it like when you heard that they were interested in bringing you back? Was it, ecstatic? What was going through your mind?
I was absolutely ecstatic. I want to be with a major promotion. I don't want to take a step backwards. I want to keep, on my high platform with these high-level organizations. So to hear that Bellator was back being interested in me, I was like, great, because I'm going to go in here. I'm going to show them again. They should have, signed me the first time or, really push more of an effort to make me exclusive the first time. Didn't work out that way. Everything happens for a reason. I don't blame them. I mean, guys come and go in the sport a lot. But, I'm going to really show it, with my personality, with my performance, and how I carry myself, that I'm a professional. I'm one of the top lightweight, featherweight fighters in the world, and I'm here to stay.
You're 7-0. All of your fights have been finishes. You haven't even seen the third round. Is it surprising to you that getting consistent fights has been such a struggle for you?
It has. I don't know what they're looking for. I mean, maybe they're looking for more of the trash talking. Maybe they're looking, I don't know what they're looking for. I mean, I thought it was based upon your performance and going there and showing exciting fights. I thought I demonstrated that. Clearly they thought something was missing, but that doesn't matter anymore. What's right in front of me is March 31st, Jake Roberts, and I'm going to go in there and handle business. And I'm going to, make sure I stay true to my authentic self. I'm not going to all of a sudden turn around and go Conor McGregor on everyone just because, trash talking has become the cool thing to do in MMA now. No, it's not who I am. It's not what I do. I'll speak my mind. I'm a competitive person by nature. So I'm just going to, enhance that characteristic a little bit more. But I'm not going to go outside of who I am just to, get fights and make extra money. That's not how you be successful. You be successful by remaining authentic and true to who you are, to your family, to your team, to your country. And that's how you keep making your way to the top. It may be a slower process, but it's the right process to do. And that's the people who stay around the longest.
That's interesting that you bring that up. I feel like part of that is pressure from outsider fans to act a certain way to do this. Is it really just the fans that are putting that pressure on, or is there people behind the scenes, not necessarily in Bellator, but just people behind the scenes kind of pressuring you to do that, to sell yourself that way?
It depends on who you're talking to. You know, some random people or even friends will say, you know, to do that. But, you know, to them, I say, no, I mean, that's not who I am as an authentic person. And, you know, I see the appeal behind it from, you know, the entertainment aspect. But at the same time, you know, if you're not being true to who you are, how you were raised, and, you know, then you're not being true to yourself. And eventually your time's going to come where, you know, something just is not going to go your way for the long haul. So I always knew that remaining true to who I am, how I operate, and going in there, let my performance be for myself is the best way to go. You know, now I'm just going to show, I mean, I've always been a competitor. I was a football player in high school, even in college. I started fighting, and I've always been a competitive nature by sort. So I'm just going to bring that out a little bit, and that will increase my entertainment value more.
And you mentioned, you're fighting Jake Roberts at the Allstate Arena in Chicago area. You said earlier that you don't prepare for a specific opponent, that it was too early in your career to do that. Do you still feel that way, or are you starting to prepare specifically for an opponent?
I still feel that way to the point. I mean, because you know how it is in this game. A lot of guys get hurt, injured. There's late replacements. I mean, stuff happens all the time. That's just completely out of your control. So I always make sure I have a general idea of who my opponent is, what they like to do, where they're comfortable, where they're uncomfortable. But I don't become obsessive over that particular person. I'm still working, you know, I work inwards on myself because that's who I can control. I can't control what Jake Roberts is going to do in that cage. I can get an idea of what his history is. I can get an idea of what he's done before, but if I go in there with that set mindset and he does something different, then that's something that could mess with, you know, some guy's head. I go in there very loose and adaptable to any type of change that he may make or, you know, may try to throw at me, and remain loose and comfortable. I know what I have. I know my strengths. I know my weaknesses, and I know what I'm going to go in there and have to do to become victorious.
So what have you gotten out of him? Like, have you assessed him? Where do you see his weaknesses?
You know, he's not weak anywhere. To say that Jake is weak anywhere would be a lie. Jake is good everywhere. I just don't think he's great anywhere. That's where I think the biggest difference is going to be. I don't see anything great in his stand-up, in his grappling, in his mindset, in his preparation. I just don't see anything great about it. And that's not to say that he's a bad person or anything like that. I think Jake is a great guy. I also think he's a good fighter. But, you know, when you're getting stuck in that battle of good versus great, good's going to lose to great. And I believe with my preparation, how I do things every single day, how I train my stand-up, my wrestling, and my ground is nothing short of phenomenal with my team and all the people I have surround me. I have a championship environment around me 24/7, 365, and that's going to be the biggest difference here.
Now, I know fighters don't like to look ahead, and I'm not trying to make you do that, but I'm going to ask anyways. You know, you see someone like Cody Garbrandt gets a title shot with only a few more wins than you have right now. Do you see, you know, a title shot in this year or within the next few fights?
Personally, I don't care, to be honest. I mean, if it happens, great. If it doesn't, I don't care. What I'm focused on is just one fight at a time. What we got to the fight? You know, we got like 12 days to the fight or so. I live in that world, you know. No, I don't like looking past, you know, but I'm looking to climb up the ladder. If you're not moving forwards, you're moving backwards. And the only person I'm going to move backwards for is Dylan Danis to give him a butt whooping, and then I'll keep moving forward up the ladder to the title.
Now, lightweight's a very interesting division in MMA in general, but, you know, Bellator has some big names in the lightweight division as well. Is there anyone that's you would really like to fight in the Bellator lightweight division?
If Dylan Danis can, you know, cut his fat ass from, you know, 70 or whatever to 155, I want to fight him.
That's an interesting matchup just because of the connection or the style, because he's a jiu-jitsu guy?
No, when I said about being an authentic person, I don't like how he's not being his authentic self anymore. All of a sudden he starts training with Connor, you know, overseas, and then he starts, you know, becoming this guy who's like, oh, I'm about money, I wear this jewelry, I wear these nice clothes, I sell out stadiums. Like, dude, no, you don't, man. Go back to being the humble, awesome jiu-jitsu player that, you know, you are, and roll with that. That's who you really are. That's your authentic self. Once that person decides to go off of that for money you know, aspect or whatever value, you know, like that's when they're going to lose. They're going to come up against someone who's for real, and they're going to realize that, oh man, I bit off way more I can chew. And plus, I don't like that he didn't work his way up to Bellator. I had to work my way up from the bottom, find an Indian reservation, chicken coops, you name it, you know, sanctioned, unsanctioned, all that stuff. I had to earn my way here one step at a time. You know, for him just to have that jump and all of a sudden, you know, get all this notoriety, I don't like it. You know, so nothing against him as a, you know, as a fighter. I think he's an amazing jiu-jitsu practitioner. I mean, Marcelo Garcia black belt, how phenomenal. I mean, that's great. But what really just kind of drives me nuts is how he's going away from his authentic self, trying to copy Conor McGregor style. Don't be a copycat. You're never going to be the best copycat. Be the best you and let that roll. You know, so that's a matchup I would love to have. I will knock him out, no doubt. And then I'll move on. I don't, but at the same time, I don't get much satisfaction being an 0-0 guy, or I've done that before, or not. I've been 0-0 guys before. I get no satisfaction. I'm undefeated. I want to move up the ladder. But at the same time, though, if I can, you know, teach this guy a lesson, use my name, and get his fans, then I'll do so.
Awesome. Thank you so much for taking the time out to talk to us. Best of luck to you.
I appreciate it. Thank you for the time. God bless.
There you have it, Steve Cazzola letting us know what he thinks of his opponent and calling out Dylan Danis. That was a surprise. Let's keep the ball rolling and talk to Emmanuel Sanchez, a featherweight Bellator contender with a sterling record looking to make a statement win against the former champion and put his name in contention for a featherweight title shot this year.
Thank you for the time as well. Thank you for having me.
So you were campaigning to get on this card in Rosemont, Illinois. It's close to home. How motivating is that for you?
Very motivating. You know, whether this fight was going to be in Illinois or not, I knew I wanted to be on it. So when I found out it was going to be in Illinois, man, I just lost my marbles. I was like, I have to be on this now. Man, this is really stupid. This is going to be a crime if I'm not on this card. And now that I'm on it, I'm like, man, dreams come true. You know what I mean? I knew I wanted to be on it the second they announced it, and now it's just time to shine.
What was it about this card, aside from it being close to home, that made you want to be on it?
The card was legends, you know what I mean? I remember fighting in St. Louis against Justin Lawrence, and when they announced Shamrock versus Gracie, I was like, I need to be on this card. Bam, dreams into reality. I was on that card. And, you know, now being on the Tito and Sunny card, and then when they announced Rampage versus King Mo, I was like, boom, I want to be on the card. All these legends and have stories to tell. And, you know, Rampage was the first pay-per-view I ever bought when I started to watch mixed martial arts and get into it. And now I'm like, wow, I'm fighting with the former light heavyweight champion, you know, Rampage Jackson on the same card as him. And, you know, you just can't write a better story. I knew I wanted and needed to be on it.
And to boot, you're slotted in the co-main. You, with all these big legends that you've been fighting with, you could probably write a book of stories of interactions with them.
Yeah, absolutely. This is just what a story to tell, you know what I mean? This young kid, you know, out there working his way on up, grew up, you know, watching these guys fight, buying the pay-per-views or getting, you know, whatever, going to Buffalo Wild Wings to watch these guys fight. And now it's like, oh, hey, I'm your co-main event now. And we're probably going to be in the same locker room, too. So it's just crazy.
And you were the co-main in your last fight. You know, co-main, you were slated to be the co-main. That's a slot that you've been holding down a lot. Have you kind of felt this rub? You know, you mentioned being on the Gracie Shamrock card and this one. Are you feeling kind of the that you're capitalizing on that extra attention you're getting?
Yeah. You know, obviously, I believe, you know, the Bellator staff gave it to me for a reason, you know. If not, if there's anything that I ask for, it's not calling out opponents, it's not talking trash, it's just, you know, I've always just wanted to stay active, and they've done that and more for me. So not only am I fighting the best, but I'm fighting on the biggest cards, and I'm staying active, you know, so I'm just turning my dreams into my reality.
Now, in your last fight, it went the distance. It wasn't that long ago, really. You know, are there any lingering bumps and bruises, or did you kind of walk away unscathed?
Well, you know, yeah, I do my best to walk away unscathed, but as you're getting older, you know, and things just happening in training, yeah, I have quite a few things that still I wouldn't say it's holding me back from training to my full potential, but it is something that's lingering. So I do need to see a chiropractor and an acupuncturist and a massage therapist daily, or at least weekly. But, but like I said, it's what it is. I'm doing my best to take care of myself holistically. I'm a clean fighter, and I'll always be a clean fighter. So, that goes to just show that we're human. We're human, and got to take care of myself to go out and put on exciting performances.
Have you ever experimented with that Cairo, that really cold tank that people use?
Oh yeah, I love it.
What is it about?
Cryotherapy. It's like a ice bath without any ice. Really, it's just they get it as cold as they possibly can. They put some gloves on you. You're in your boxers, and you're just there for as long as you like to be. 1 minute to three. Any more than that, I believe is no good. But yep, it's just kind of like a high-tech ice bath, So ice baths are good, too. I like it. But when I do cryo, you just feel all that the cold air rushing upon you, and it just feels really good.
Can you stay the full 3 minutes?
Yeah, I actually love it, Mm-hmm. Stay mentally strong. I'm just in there, and I'm just like, I just feel myself so free and feel myself very recovered.
So transitioning to this fight, you're fighting a former bantamweight title holder. He's moving up a weight class. Do you think the move up in size is going to be an issue for him? Are you going to be too big?
Martial artists, the smaller man can beat the big man. If size mattered, the elephant would be the king of the jungle. So I don't see myself as being, I bulked up and I did this. I'm going to be super strong and, too much. Nah, I just see it as the advantages that I have is my desire and my will to win. That outweighs everyone's physical attributes and everything that they could potentially have against me on paper, So it's all paper on paper. And I'm excited, anxious to go out, put on an exciting performance, and size don't matter. Their skill levels don't matter. I know what I can do. I know what I want to do, and I know what I'm going to do. And I just can't wait to go show it to the world.
Now, you wanted to fight someone like AJ McGee earlier because it was a big name to capitalize on. This is a formal title holder. Do you kind of feel like this is that fight that you've been looking for, that big name opponent to kind of launch you into the next stratosphere?
Yes. I feel just so focused, so determined, so hungry. I'm the best. How can anyone deny me or talk trash about fight? For the title, that did fight for the title. There's no such thing as an easy fight, but I've really had no fights where it's like, oh man, wow, damn, like everyone knows who I'm fighting, who I've been fighting, know me because they know who I've been fighting. So I'm just super ecstatic to just go out and take out another big name, and you got to beat the best. So, I got to go out and take this guy out and prove that I'm the best.
You have fought a long list of names, and they've been tough fights, I guess. Your last seven fights have been decisions. Are you comfortable going to the finish now, or going to the judges' card now and going the full three rounds? Or are you still looking for that finish constantly?
Yeah, I feel like I just got to go out and love fighting. And you put so much pressure on yourself. It's like, I got to knock this guy. I got to submit this guy. Oh man, I suck if I don't finish this fight, blah, blah, blah. Of course I want to go out and finish the fight, and that's all I look to do every single time I fight. But, things happen, the fight happens, and it's hard and it's difficult. Plus, I'm fighting the best guys out there, so that's another thing. I'm fighting guys, high-level jiu-jitsu, high-level striking, high-level experience, everything. So, but I think the fact that I've come very, very close TKO submission to every single one of these guys, that proves what I can do and who I am. So, I just got to go out and have fun. I love fighting, go out and have fun, no pressure, and just do what I love to do.
Your cardio is one of your best attributes. Do you feel like it kind of plays into your wheelhouse, though?
Absolutely, and that's just another thing, too. My coach always asks me, you ever been tired after a fight? I say, no, then you need to throw more. So, I've always said, being like Canelo, De La Hoya, Golovkin, but also you got to see the Pacquiao side of me, and that's being able to just go, be a little jackrabbit out there, the little energizer bunny. You know, if I'm tired, then just then yeah, you need to be throwing 10 punches center. I mean, you got to be able to go out there intelligently, be aggressive, and be dominant, you know, in the striking and the grappling, wherever it be. So, yeah, you know, I don't know. I just, I don't know what it is. Something just deep inside this heart and these lungs that just never lets me stop moving and never let me stop going.
Now, you brought up Golovkin. Did you watch the fight, and what did you think of the result?
Yeah, I know people are saying, you know, close fight and this and that or whatever, but I thought he did good. I thought it was a good fight. You know, yeah, that kid showed, you know, that he's good too. You know, and that just goes to prove that everybody's human, that everybody's the perfect best fighter, you know, pound for pound, whatever. And even the pound for pounds, you know, or the legends, you know, lost or, you know, got hurt, you know, in fights or at one point in their career. So I thought it was a good fight. I think that kid's good too. And I still can't wait to see Triple G.
Now, there was at one point in time, the desire to fight AJ McGee. He's kind of now been focused on James Gallagher. Is that still a fight that's on your radar, or are you kind of moving past that to bigger names?
That's an interesting, you know, little connection, you know what I mean? Because obviously him and Gallagher are, you know, chomping at the bit at each other. Two undefeated guys in the division, both, what, 21 and younger, just right there around that age. So, you know, I don't know. We'll see if they put them together right away or if they wait to, you know, maybe the number one contenders, but who knows? You know, for me, it's like, all right, both of these guys are in my division, so I know I got to scrap them both. So whether it be the next fight, three fights from now, or a title defense when I'm champion, you know, who knows? Only God knows the future. And but sure enough, you know, I know our paths will cross, you know, with McKee, with Gallagher, with Vaitcho again, with Curran again, with anyone again. You never know, you know, so I'm ready for whoever, whatever, whenever, wherever.
If they book that McGee-Gallagher fight, is that a number one contender bout for a shot at Emmanuel Sanchez?
Yeah, you know, potentially could be, I feel. You know, I mean, like I was saying, you know, man, I fought the man who held the title in Pat Curran, and now I'm fighting another one in Galvao. I'm fighting the man who was supposed to fight for the title in Georgie Karakhanian. And did fight for the title, Daniel Vaitcho, who could be the champion. You know, he was one punch away from being the champion in the first round. So how can you take my top spot, you know what I mean, when I'm fighting three guys that are in the title or title pick? I'm fighting, so consider me one of the best, you know, the champion in the making, because I'm looking to go out and take all these guys out.
You make a good case for the next fight being for the title. So I don't know if that McGee-Gallagher fight is next for you. It seems like the title shot's next. But I'll end with this question. Your guy who looks for the big cards to be on, they just announced Bellator 180, New York, pay-per-view, Sun and Silva. Have you already started blowing up Scott Coker's phone trying to get on that card?
We just started talking about it, me and my coach Duke Rufus. So you never know when that's going to come up, you know what I mean? That's huge because, yeah, of course, obviously I have a huge task in hand. I have a giant in front of me, another mountain that I need to get over to get to where I want to be next on this first. But sure enough, yeah, you know what I mean? Being able to be on a pay-per-view now, I just want to, you know, when I'm done fighting, like, you know, I was saying, being on this card with legends, having stories to tell, being on the card with Fedor, being on the card with the announcement, who's supposed to be the main event again? I'm at a loss for words.
Sonnen and
Silva. Yes, yes. Oh, my God. You know what I mean? So Vanderlei, too, is another one that I'm a huge fan of Vanderlei. Vanderlei loved my fighting style. So I'm, like, super ecstatic to be like, oh, wow, I fought on the same card as Vanderlei Silva, too, and then Fedor, and, you know, it's just nuts, you know? So, you know, what a story I'm going to be able to have to tell when I'm done fighting that, you know, I was on the card with all these guys that I grew up watching, you know, and learning from.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time out to talk to us. Best of luck to you at Bellator 175 in Chicago. We'll see you when you're in town.
Thank you so much, brother. Yes, we'll see you next week, and thank you for the time as well.
There you have it. The thoughts from Emmanuel Sanchez on his upcoming fight at Bellator 175. Let's keep it rolling and talk to heavyweight Chase Gormley, who's looking to put his name into contention for a heavyweight title shot coming off of two consecutive wins. Hey, Chase, how are you?
What's up, buddy?
Thanks for taking the time out to talk to us. Sorry to make you jump back on the phone. So, you know, how's everything been going this camp leading up to this fight? Everything going well?
Yeah, it's going great, man. I think this week I was hurting. I've been cutting a lot of weight. So the last 3 weeks I've been really down in the dumps. This week, Monday, yesterday, and today, I feel like my energy's starting to come back, so I feel really good going into this fight. Because usually the last 2 weeks I'm hurting, but I'm already down to weight, so my cut's pretty much over. So now I'm already starting to get some energy back, which is like the first time in a camp that that's happened, so I'm really excited. Because usually at this point in time, I'm pretty exhausted, you know?
I think a lot of fans don't think that heavyweights ever have to cut weight and how difficult it is for them to do it.
Yeah, well, I'm naturally like 300 pounds, so I think for this camp I started like 310 because I took like 2 solid months off to kind of let some of my injuries heal. So I really, I kind of packed it on. But I was smart with my diet this time. Usually I kind of eat whatever I want and just kind of taper off towards the end. This time I really stuck to a strict diet, kind of meal prepped, and it really paid off towards the end here.
Are you a guy who works with a dietitian, or do you kind of do everything on your own?
I did last camp, but, I just, what he had me doing just didn't make me feel good as far as like the food and everything. I mean, it was all good food and everything, but it just didn't really give me any energy. I just kind of felt flat. So this kind of, I kind of just took some of his concepts and kind of adapted them to my own personal preferences. And I think this time I felt a lot better. I didn't really cut out some of the things I like to eat, but I just kind of minimized them and really focused on keeping the good foods, coming in. And when I cut weight, I always eat. A lot of guys starve themselves, but I just make sure I always get enough food in me and just put an extra work in it.
Do you do the water cut part of it? Like, and if so, how much do you have to?
Not towards the end. Usually I water load because when you water load your body, when you go to actually sweat it out, you sweat more. Because if you kind of taper off on the water too soon, your body starts holding in everything and like won't let it go, So when you cut the water out too soon, you end up just kind of like, stalemating. The weight just won't come off anymore. So it's good to like overload on water and then like the last week start tapering down,
And drinking a lot of water makes you less hungry, but drinking a lot of water is also really hard. Like I've tried to do the gallon, 2 gallons a day. Like I think it's harder than people understand.
Yeah, I think when you're cutting weight though and you're in the room twice a day, it's not too difficult. It's actually the only thing I look forward to is drinking some water, man. I'm so thirsty because usually when I used to cut weight, not as smart, I would be cutting my water out a little too soon. And man, that's all you want. That's all you want. You don't want food. You don't want anything. You just want water. This time, I made sure I keep my water up high until the last minute.
Yeah. Switching gears a little bit. Looking forward to this fight.
Okay.
You're fighting on this card, Rampage Jackson. Talking to some of the younger guys on the card, a lot of them are excited to be on an event with Rampage Jackson. He kind of carries this name. Now, you have a history. You fought in the UFC before. Do you kind of feel that way too, or is it just kind of, does none of that faze you anymore?
No, I mean, I got a big challenge ahead of me, so that's really my only worry right now. It doesn't really matter who's in front of me or behind me. I got one task at hand, and that's all I'm worried about. It could be anybody in front of me. I could care less because, I wish those guys all the success in the world, but I got to focus on me,
So you're on a 2-fight win streak. The guy you're fighting is coming off a loss. Was there any kind of negotiation picking names? Was this just the guy that they wanted to match you up with and you took it? Or was there any kind of thinking that I'd rather fight a guy who has a little bit of a win streak on his own?
No, I mean, I think Sergey's a great fighter to fight against. His last fight, he just got caught, in my personal opinion. And, that guy came out and caused some chaos and just dropped him. I think this fight, he's going to come back, focused, he's going to try to make a statement that was a mistake and I'm going to have a fight on my hands. But I think if I finish him, then that puts me right in the mix for whenever they decide to give the belt out, then I'll definitely be in
in the drawing for that, you know?
You win. You have three fights, a three-fight win streak. I think that puts you in the championship. You feel like you still might be up in the air, like your spot in that championship bout, whenever that comes about, still might be up for debate?
Well, I think I'll probably have like one or two more fights after that before I can really, you know, nail that down. But it definitely will keep me in that trajectory towards the championship. And, you know, Bellator, you know, they're going to do what they're going to do. All I got to do is win, man, and then hope for the best, you know?
Right.
That's all I can do is go in there and train hard and win fights. And then, you know, Bellator let me know when it's my chance, you know? And I just want to miss that opportunity.
Have they kind of given you any indication of when that might come, when they finally decide to do a heavyweight title fight?
No. I mean, I really don't know. They haven't given, like, an idea if they're going to do a tournament or whether they're just going to do a single fight. So I think we're all kind of waiting to see what they're going to do. But, you know, in the meantime, I just got to keep winning fights so that, you know, I'm still in the running for that when they finally make that decision, you know?
Tournaments are kind of a dying art in MMA. Everything seems to move away from that. Do you enjoy the tournament format? Do you like that?
I mean, it's more like a wrestling style for me, so it's more like familiar. But, you know, even if they do tournament, I don't think they do a tournament in that traditional sense where they, you know, you all play a one card and, you know, we'll see what happens. I think, like, one guy will fight this card and that would be like the quarterfinal bracket, and then another guy will fight another card and kind of transition like that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it would be like all one show, a big tournament. I think they kind of have individual fights here and there and they kind of, you know, bracket down that way.
Now, you came into Bellator, if I'm remembering correctly, Titan heavyweight champion. You got a 2-fight win streak. Do you feel like you're kind of really hitting your prime and your stride now?
Yeah, you know, because I was hurt those last 2 fights and I still, you know, made it happen and got there and got the win. So I think this is the first fight I'm coming in healthy in over a year and a half. So I really feel like this is my opportunity to show people that I'm, you know, I'm in the top echelon as far as the heavyweights go in Bellator. And that, you know, my goal right now is win that belt, and I'm definitely on the path to do that. So, you know, my main objective right now is to go out there and not just win, but win big. You know, I got to go out there and knock out. And then if I go to a decision, that's really something that I don't want to do. So I'm going to try everything my power to make sure I go out there and finish this fight. You know?
Now, you mentioned being healthy for the first time in a long time. Does that kind of alter the way that you train? Do you train a little bit more cautiously to remain healthy?
You know, I always train smart. You know, I'm not a big hard sparrer. I don't go out there and try to hurt people, and, you know, hopefully they, you know, return the favor to me. you always want to, if you get hurt in practice, you know, then you can't go out and perform. So you just have to, you know, sometimes you have to be vocal to your training partners too, but like, hey, I got a fight coming up, you know, just if you got my knee in a bad position or if you got me in a weird position, just, you know, I'll tap or whatever, because it's not worth missing out on the fight for, you know, just ego. I think that's the big thing with me is I don't have a big ego, so I have no problem, you know, tapping out in weird positions or, you know, taking it easy on guys who are taking it easy on me. But then there's times when you got to pick it up too. You just got to be smart about it, you know?
Right. Is there, you feel like there's a lot of pushback when you're like that, or, you know, people like to go a certain pace in practice or try their hardest, or, you know, what people, some label practice hero or whatever. Do you find like there's some pushback from that thought process?
No, not really, because, you know, I think I respect my opponents. Usually they return the favor, you know. I usually don't go with guys that are try-hard, you know, that are trying to prove something, because at the end of the day, we're all trying to get paid, and if you get hurt in practice, but, you know, have an ego match with somebody, then you just lose, you know, no matter what happens. So I always try to tell them, hey, man, you know, you're going a little hard, and you need to taper down a little bit, and then, you know, if we're both going hard, we should both understand that we could both be defensive and, you know, we're both on the same page. When one guy is going hard, the other guy is kind of just tip-tap, then, you know, that's when you know, problems happen in the room. So I never really have that issue. Most of my training partners know this stuff, you know?
Right. So there was a big announcement this week. Bellator is doing their first pay-per-view event. What is your thought process on Bellator starting to explore the pay-per-view format?
You know, I think they're coming up, you know, I think they're really starting to kind of creep up on the UFC. You know, they don't have the big names like McGregor yet or you know, the Diaz brothers are such, but I think they're definitely on their way. They're more like, what I would say, they're less like wrestling-like Like, UFC's kind of getting more like the professional wrestling kind of thing going on. Everybody's popping a big game. Everybody wants a money fight. You know, Bellator is just here to fight. You know, people going there and they fight. And that's the way it should be. I don't really like this whole dramatic thing that UFC's doing. But, you know, they're making their money, though. So, more power to them. I just, you know, I think Bellator is doing the right thing. You know, they got their own vision for what they want to do. And I think they're going to be successful in the future here.
So that's interesting that you say that. You know, they signed Ryan Bader. There's big names coming over. While, you know, Rory McDonald, while they're still in their prime. You know, as somebody who's around fighters a lot, is there a kind of a growing sentiment or discussion where people are starting to take notice of what Scott Coker's doing at Bellator and really kind of see the positives in what Bellator's doing versus the UFC?
Well, I think a lot of them are coming over for the sponsorships, and it's really just that simple. You know, the UFC went to sign that Reebok deal and forces all these fighters to fall in line. We're independent contractors. There's no reason why any of us should have to...
Hold on, the baby's got the water.
Sorry.
No problem.
Anyways, it should have to follow that, you know, that guideline, because we're independent contractors. So you're gonna tell, how are you going to tell us we can have sponsorships? That's how we make most of our money. So I totally understand why they're coming over. And plus, you know, there's a lot of politics over there that I don't care for. Like I said, the UFC, I'm always happy that they're successful. You know, they started this whole thing. But where they're going now, I really don't care for it. Like, if I, you know, got released from Bellator, sort of by contracting or whatever so happened, I wouldn't even be interested in going to the UFC because I just don't care for what they're doing. You know, so I really enjoy being with Bellator, and I think if I have the option, I'm going to stay with that, you know?
And for anyone who's never been to a Bellator show in live, it's a totally different experience, and it's very entertaining, visually pleasing, the stage, the entrances. It's just so much more engaging all around.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't actually been to a lot of UFC ones, so I can't really compare the two. But I've been to Bellator, I think, when it was over here at the Honda Center. It was, I had a really good time. So if I actually get more nervous watching the fights than actually going in there and fighting, especially when the guys I know are fighting, I get real nervous, you know.
Really, you have so many, like, what, 19 fights, I think, under your record, on your record. You still get nervous. What about it makes you nervous?
No, whenever guys fight, makes me nervous. Just because I want to succeed, you know. You never know how a fight's gonna go, man. The fight game's so, you know, 1 second you can be dominating the guy for 3 rounds, and the very last minute he knocks you out. You know? So it's always like on your toes. When I fight, I've been like, you know, wrestling and competing since I was 4 years old, so it's no big deal. I'm used to it. But another guy fight, I get nervous. When guys I know fight, I feel like, ah, you know, because I feel like I can't go out there and help them. They're on their own, you know.
Right. Well, thank you so much for taking the time out to talk to us. Best of luck to you in your fight.
No problem.
Best of luck.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
And this brings us to our last fighter on this episode, Marcus Galvao. He's fighting Emmanuel Sanchez at Bellator 175, making his debut at 145 pounds and looking to claim a title in a second weight class. We're using the help of a translator here, so this isn't his voice, but these are his answers. First of all, thank you so much for taking the time out to talk to us.
Thank you.
So the big storyline going into this fight is the move up to 145 pounds. What prompted the decision to move up to featherweight? Was it just a new challenge? Was it Dantas holding the belt and having fought him twice?
It was, I should have went up about 3 fights ago. It's becoming harder and harder for me to make the weight. It has nothing to do with me fighting Dantas in the past or, you know, getting the new belt. Just the body. It was becoming harder and harder on my body.
I got you. Is he a little bit relieved that he can change his diet? Does he feel like he's going to be stronger at 145?
I think, yeah, because I'm able to focus more on my training. It's less stressful for me now because I'm not so concerned about making, you know, the weight. I don't know if I'm going to be the stronger guy in that division, but it's a lot less stressful on my mindset to make 45 than 35.
One thing that people moving up in weight class talk about is their ability to lift weights to kind of gain strength. It's something that they don't do when they're trying to fight at a lighter weight. Has he been doing more weight training, trying to kind of get stronger now that he doesn't have to worry about that extra 10 pounds?
Yeah, you know, I've never been a big fan of lifting a lot of weights. I like to do more specific training for the fights. And I think that when you lift weight, you're right, you know, especially the lower level, weight class, it's a lot harder on your body because you have to cut weight and you put on a lot of size. But even though I'm moving up, I'm not, like I said, I'm not a big guy in terms of lifting heavy. So that didn't change much.
Another perk for fighters moving up in weight classes is that it's always perceived that they will be faster than the fighters in the heavier weight class. Does he expect to be faster at 145 than most 145-pound fighters?
Yeah, I think without a doubt, my speed is going to be faster than the guys in that division because I'm not cutting as much weight. I won't be as sluggish. I'll be able to be faster.
So you're fighting Emmanuel Sanchez in this fight in Chicago. I think he's kind of an unheralded featherweight fighter who doesn't maybe get as much recognition as he should. I was kind of interested in what his thoughts on Emmanuel Sanchez are.
Yeah, you know, he's definitely, I agree with you, he's very underrated. He's a top guy in the division, and I think that I got to, you know, respect him a lot and be ready to fight him because I know he's going to bring out the best in me. I've been following him for a while now. I know he's a very tough opponent.
Now, Emmanuel Sanchez kind of believes that this fight puts him in contention for a title shot next. Galvoa, he just lost the belt to Dantas. He has a win since then. Recent champion. Does he feel the same way? Is this a number one contender bout?
Yeah, without a doubt, I think this is very much of a title contention fight. And especially that Bellator announced New York, Madison Square Garden, they're coming and doing the show here. Being that I'm a local guy, I think that after a big win after Emmanuel Sanchez, being that I was the former champion, being that I would have two wins in a row now, I think being at the guard, I think especially for myself, I think it puts me right up there for the title shot.
The last time we talked, you talked about how incredible it would be to fight in New York after the legalization happened. So now that it's happened, you know, what was your response when Bellator announced that this card was happening in New York?
Imagine, you know, I mean, that's a dream come true. Anybody want to be on that card. You know, Madison Square Garden is the mecca, you know, the world's most famous arena. Anyone wants to be on that card.
And how much would it mean to him to be on the same, like, the card's going to be headlined by Vanderlei Silva. How much would that mean to him to be on a card with Vanderlei?
Yeah, I mean, these guys are icons, you know. Vanderlei, Chael Sonnen, Fedor. These are guys that are going to be on that card, and to be fighting amongst them is definitely a dream come true for any fighter.
With Fedor and the Sonnen and you know, how stacked the card is, he at all concerned that Bellator might leave off a featherweight title fight off that card?
No, because, you know what, I'm a local guy, and I think that's going to play a major factor. You know, being that I live in New York, I train in New York, I think that'll definitely sway that towards me.
Now, getting back to this fight a little bit, he's potentially setting up a run at a second title in a different weight class. Pursuing multiple titles in different weight classes has become a very trendy thing lately. In his mind, as he thinks about the historic ramification of winning a belt in a second weight class, or is it strictly just about winning another championship?
No, I'm not thinking about that. I just want to go in there, put a good fight. You know, I just want to be the champion. I'm not thinking about being a two-division champion. I'm just thinking about being a champ.
So he mentioned earlier that he doesn't like to weight train. He kind of likes to train specifically. Does that carry over in, like, his game plan for an opponent? Is somebody who kind of looks and examines and tries to find a weakness and come up with a specific game plan for a fighter, or is he just always kind of focused on what he does best?
Yeah, we definitely like to strategize and watch my opponents. You know, we see what he's good at, and then we definitely work on that.
With Emmanuel Sanchez, is there anything in particular that you focused, that you've noticed about him that you can share that you're going to look to exploit?
Yeah, he's one of the major things that I've noticed from him is that he's very aggressive. He likes to move forward. He's very always looking to finish the fight, always looking to put on an exciting fight, and I'm looking to capitalize off of that.
And one of his strengths is his conditioning. You know, he's gone the distance a lot recently in particular, and everybody talks about his conditioning being so strong. Is he concerned at all about that, or how does he feel his conditioning matches up?
No, I'm not thinking about his cardio. I'm worried about mine. I know I have also a very good cardio, especially moving up in weight class. You know, at 135, maybe I looked a little tired sometimes. That was due to the weight cut. So I know 145 pounds, I'm not going to worry about my cardio. My cardio is great.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time out to talk to us. Best of luck to you in the fight.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning into this Bellator 175 edition of the Extra Rounds podcast. I hope you enjoy the interviews with the fighters. We have a lot more interviews coming this week. We will be on location at Bellator 175 in Chicago. So stay tuned for more exclusive content right here at Extra Rounds.